It's good to see everybody with us this morning. We do, as has been mentioned a couple of times already, have several who are visiting. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Great to see you all. It's an encouragement to see so many here. And we have some of ours who have been traveling for some time who have made it back safely. And it's wonderful to see you as well. I want to encourage everybody to follow along this morning with the things that we'll have to discuss in the sermon. Whenever you come to the end of a year and to the beginning of a new one, it's kind of a built-in time to do some self-reflection. Brother Robert talked some about that Wednesday evening as he gave his talk. It just seems to be an ideal time to do that. Not that we shouldn't be reflecting all the way throughout the year, but there's something about the turning over of the calendar that just really seems to lend itself to that. And people reflect at this time of year on everything about their life, about their family life, about their work life, pretty much about everything. As Christians, we recognize that every part of our lives is within a context, and it's within a context of being people of God. That's the most important thing in our lives, and everything else lines up behind that. And so as we reflect this morning, I want to ask you, how did things go for you personally in your 2021 from a spiritual perspective? How did it go? It could be that some are saying, well, it was a great year for me. It was a year of tremendous spiritual growth. I am closer to God now than I have ever been. I understand more about Scripture now than I have at any point in my life, and I'm learning better how to apply it and to walk worthy of my calling. And if that's you, great. Keep it up. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Be an encouragement to your brethren in that area. And I'm happy for you and rejoice with you if you find, upon reflection, that's where you fall. But maybe not everybody is there. And maybe some are saying, this last year wasn't a great year for me. It was a tough year. There were discouragements, there were frustrations, and frankly, there wasn't much progress for me this year. And I kind of took a step back. Well, we can rejoice that our God is patient. We can rejoice that our God is gracious, and we can rejoice that here you sit at the beginning of a new year with an opportunity, with time, an opportunity to grow, to make things better with God's help. Take advantage of it if you find that you need it. Or it could be, and I suspect that the vast majority of us are going to be here. We can look at this past year and said, yeah, I had my moments. I had my moments of really positive spiritual growth, but then I had my moments where things didn't quite go as well as they should have. I had a little hot and cold, a little on and off. And as I look ahead at 2022, I don't really want any of those cold moments. I don't want any of those off times. So what can we do in this year to improve? There's a statement made about the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. Just going to look at part of the verse. It's the first part of verse 22. It's after Paul has become a Christian. And the passage says, but Paul increased all the more in strength. Now, what's so interesting about this is if you just read a few verses before this, Paul is breathing threats. Paul is as hostile as he can possibly be. And Paul is on his way to Damascus to find those who love the Lord and who are faithful to his cause and to imprison them, drag them back to Jerusalem. And perhaps that would have ended in their deaths there. That's where Paul had been. But we know what happened there on the road to Damascus. We know that the Lord sent Ananias to speak to Paul. We know the things that occurred after that. And as we move forward, we get to, well, the very next book in our Bibles is Romans. And you read Romans. How did that man, who was as hostile as he could be to any thought of the Lord, how did that man become the one who wrote Romans? We're studying on Sunday evenings here, Paul's letters to the Thessalonians. We're in the first letter now. How did that man of the beginning of Acts 9 become the man who could write 1st and 2nd Thessalonians? The man of the epistles who seems so strong, who always seems to have the answers, who is so zealous for Jesus. How did he become that? Well, he certainly didn't do it overnight. I think there are two things that we're going to focus on this morning. Really, it's going to be the second. The first, some could say, might go without saying, but it always needs to be said. Paul trusted in God. And when he came to believe with all of his heart that Jesus was the fulfillment of those scriptures he had read and discussed and debated and known his whole life, he jumped in with everything that he was, and he trusted God. That will always be first. That will always be foremost. But I think Paul understood something else as well. Even with that, even trusting God, for him to become what he needed to be was going to require effort on his part. It wasn't just going to happen. And so Paul became the man he became through determination, through diligence, and through effort. And what I want to encourage us to do as we move into this new year is follow what I'm calling the Pauline plan for 2022. There's a lot that we could add to this list, no doubt. But I want us to consider three things that were part of Paul's life, that we see them every time we see him. And I think it will benefit us every bit as much as it did him. And I want us to start off with this. Every day, beloved, let us fan the flame of our love for God. In Galatians 2, in verse 20, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul thought about that a lot, didn't he? He thought about that a lot. Later, when he's writing to his dear, close friend Timothy and encouraging him to be everything he should have been, he said in chapter 1, verses 12 through 14 of the first letter, he says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. If somebody asked Paul, why do you love Jesus? Paul was one who always had the answer right on the tip of his tongue. Why? Because it was always in his thoughts. You know, those why questions can be difficult. When someone asks, why do you believe what you believe? Why do you do what you do? Why, as in this instance, do you love as you love? It's not always the easiest thing in the world to then actually explain it. Well, this is just what I do. This is just what I've believed. I love because I'm supposed to do this. Here at the beginning of the new year, it is very likely that many in here, if not most, have made a few determinations going forward this year. I want to pray more. Great. I mean, Paul said, pray without ceasing. We know that our Lord, in His extremely busy schedule, oftentimes found opportunity, made opportunity, to go off by Himself to pray. We can't pray too much. It's not a possibility. And so if Christians here are saying to themselves, I want to pray more this year, amen. God be with you, and I pray that you do that. And it could be others have found their Bible reading plan for the year. And you know what it's going to be. You've got it laid out. You know exactly where you're starting. You've picked your translation, and you're ready to go. Actually, this is the second. I hope you already started. I hope you're not behind already. That's a good thing to do. Read the Bible. Read it every single day. Let me encourage you to add this as well. Every day, find some time, make some time. If it's just 5 minutes, maybe you can add more, 10 or 15, to think. To think about why you love the Lord. To think about why He matters so much to you. To think about why you're gathering together here right now. Find some time and just think about these things. This is something Paul clearly did, and it's the reason he could write the way that he wrote. If we do have some difficulty at first, maybe it's not really a habit that someone has. It's not really a practice that you've been familiar with, and you're thinking right at the top, well, I love the Lord because God sent His Son. Great place to start, but there's so much more than that, isn't there? Just a few things to consider. Consider God's goodness. Consider His blessings, His mercy, His grace, His Son. And think about these things. Just a little bit at first, every day. It could start off just a minute to 5 minutes if you've not been in this practice. Just a little bit each day to think about it. Really think about it. You're going to find the list of reasons to love God is endless. And you're going to find in those reasons that you do list, there are depths to them. And you will peel away those layers throughout your life. And that 1-2 minutes could very quickly become 10 and 15, and then you're finding 30 minutes. And then maybe you're setting your alarm early in the morning so you can get up even an hour earlier just to devote that time to the Lord. And what a wonderful thing that is. This was Paul's habit. This is how he thought. And as we make resolutions and determinations for the new year, what a wonderful one to make. This could become habit for me, every bit as much as it was for him. Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. When I say that Paul just seems to have thought this way, this is one of those passages that I think will highlight that. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 8, where Paul says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight." Maybe somebody is saying, I don't really know how to just sit down and think about the reasons that I love the Lord. I don't really know how to reflect on it because I've never done it before. Take Ephesians 1. Look at verses 3 through 8. Take it in order and just do that. Let Paul be the one who said the words. Let the Holy Spirit be the one who inspired him to say them. And just stay there. Plant yourself there. Find the reasons to love the Lord and meditate upon them. Think about them. And let your appreciation and your love for him just grow in the process and make it a habit. Truly, beloved, can you think, honestly now, of all the habits you're wanting to begin right now or to make a habit as the year goes on? You want to drink more water? Great, do that, it's healthy. You want to exercise more? Do that, it's healthy. All of those different things. You want to drop some weight? Great, drop some weight, that's healthy too. Is there a better habit to develop than taking some time each day to truly reflect upon why you love God and to give it thought? I pray that you would do that. I'm going to try to do that myself as well. And as we go on, something else we see from Paul that I think would benefit us tremendously is to see every day as a proving and improving day. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through the first part of verse 27, Paul said, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control." Now, Paul would go on to say the reason he's doing that is so that even as he's preaching to others, he himself would not be disqualified. But why would that require disciplining the body? Over in Galatians, the Apostle Paul showed something we've all learned by experience, no doubt. But the Apostle Paul showed in that passage that the desires of the Spirit, some translations capitalize the S there, indicating the Holy Spirit. Some might have a lowercase, showing that they believe it's just speaking of the human spirit that should be led by the Holy Spirit. I honestly don't believe it makes a big difference one way or the other. But Paul shows there that the desires of the Spirit are against the desires of the flesh, and the desires of the flesh are against the desires of the Spirit. And as he's making that point, he says this in verses 16 and 17. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." When you see that last statement, "to keep you from doing the things you want to do," the idea there is keeping you from doing what you know you ought to do. So let me ask, have you had situations? Let's just look at this past year. All right, we're in a period of reflection here. In this past year, did you have times throughout that year when you knew the right thing to do? You knew what you should have done. You knew it exactly. And the Spirit was willing. But the flesh was given too much power. And while the Spirit was saying, "This is what you ought to do," the flesh was saying, "But I'd rather do this." And the flesh won. Did you have those times over the course of this past year? Frankly, beloved, I'd be shocked if anybody said I didn't have at least one of those times this past year. Did you have more than one? Did you have more than just a few? You find it was something that you were struggling with on a daily basis? Paul seems to be indicating it is a daily struggle. Doesn't he? And of course it's going to be. Our adversary's not about to give up. He's not about to throw in the towel. He knows he's doomed. But he wants to take as many of us with him as he can. Turn over there to Galatians 5. As Paul goes on here, he's going to really show the difference in the life that is allowing the flesh to lead and the life that is allowing the Spirit to lead. And we're going to see how absolutely opposed to one another they are. Picking up in verse 18.
But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Now this isn't an exhaustive list of sins, but it certainly is representative, isn't it? Paul says, I warn you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. This is one of the reasons why I love God's Word. I love that we're not just told a thing and not given any instruction for how to do it. We're not just told there is such a thing as following after the flesh and then not knowing what that's going to look like. And we're not told that there is such a thing as following after the Spirit but not knowing what that looks like. We know exactly what those things look like. And we've been shown here. And so as we consider our lives, and let's do it again. Let's reflect on 2021. What did we look like? There's two lists there. What did we look like? Now, none of us have, I'll speak for myself, I have not achieved sinless perfection. And I've had my moments this past year. Pretty confident that you would say the same. Generally speaking, what did our walk look like? Beloved, I pray that it's the walk after the Spirit rather than after the flesh. One leads straight to heaven. The other's never going to see it. And because this is going to be a daily struggle, and because we do have an adversary, he does not take vacations, he does not rest, he is doing everything that he can do to cause us to fall, to cause us to stumble and stray. We have to understand that because this struggle is daily, our determination has to be daily. Because this struggle is happening every moment of every day, we have to live intentional lives, recognizing that, and I've said this so many times, you've heard me say it, and you're probably tired of hearing me say it, recognizing that before we are anything else, we are servants of God. And everything else in our lives falls under that. And if we can grasp that, if we can understand it, then we can live with purpose. We can live with intentionality, and we can live with determination. And we can see every day for what it is, another day where we are called upon to prove ourselves, to prove our faith, to prove our love. And because we are not perfect, another day to improve. And we can do that just as the Apostle Paul did. Now, whether you like the idea of New Year's resolutions or not, I suspect most in here have made some. How many of you of them do you think is going to make it out of January? How many of them do you think is going to make it halfway through January? When it comes to these resolutions, we got to start now and we got to stick with it. Over in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2, I love the way that Paul says this. He says, working together with him then, he's talking about God's plan in this place. Working together with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I helped you. This is what I love here. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. As it relates to our walk with Christ and our spiritual health, we must recognize and embrace this truth. We live in a perpetual now.
As it relates to matters of eternity, there is no, I'll do this later. I'll put this off until another time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the opportune time. And we've got to live in that place. You know, you think about when you go out to buy something, to purchase something, a lot of times there's incentives attached to it, right? I remember when we got when we bought the van in, it was last November. One of the incentives that they offered, hey, you buy the van here for a couple of years, you're going to get free oil changes if you bring it here, and we're even going to put off your first payment for another month. And they put those incentives there, right? They want you to buy. Well, God is not selling a product, not at all. But beloved, He has certainly incentivized coming to Him. You just think about all that He's given you. We only have space up here for just a little bit. He has given us His Son. He has given us His grace. Think about Brother Zach's prayer this morning where he talked about even the fact that we can go to God in prayer is an incredible thing. We have been granted through Christ access to the very throne of creation. The throne of the God who made it all. He has given His Spirit. We are promised an eternal home in heaven with Him. And there are blessings even beyond these that we have can't even know and can't even mention. I think of Brother Chris when he prays. He oftentimes mentions those blessings that we know and the infinite number that we do not. I suspect they are infinite. Blessings that we're receiving that we're not even aware of or that we're even thinking about. What has God given? Better question is, what hasn't He given? As He seeks to bring about His plan to save as many as possible. And as we move into 2022, I want us to ask this question, what will we give? I want you to turn your Bibles with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 7 through 14. Paul just finished talking there about the reasons he could have confidence in the flesh. Of course, he's from the tribe of the very first king, right? King Saul was from Benjamin, so was Saul of Tarsus. He just goes down the list there, a Pharisee, all of these things. But then he picks up in verse 7. He says, but whatever gain I had, and that's, of course, counting gain according to the flesh, for whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It is good to reflect, it is good to remember from where we have come, but there must always be the understanding, there must be pressing on. And the pressing on that Paul is describing and is saying that he did is the pressing on that is willing to say, I will suffer the loss of anything in this world. Suffer the loss of anything, even if it's something that I have worked so hard to achieve. I will suffer the loss of that thing because there is no greater worth than in knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and the power of His resurrection. And that's the thing that I'm after. Maybe that's what your 2021 looked like. Maybe that's a resolution you made then. And you stuck with it. And you've just abounded and grown
and your appreciation for the Lord has doubled or tripled or quadrupled, and you're just doing well now. You're ready to meet this new year, and you're ready to grow some more. Amen. Do it. That's a wonderful thing. But maybe you were in one of those other categories, and this doesn't sound like you at all. But I'll tell you something, beloved, it can. It can. And God has done what He's done to make it possible. And what a wonderful blessing that is. Well, are you able to look ahead to 2023 just yet? A lot can happen in a year, can it? We're still in a global pandemic that it's on the upswing again. Kentucky's been ravaged by tornadoes recently. I saw Julianne post yesterday that she and her family were safe after a tornado touched down not far from them there in Madison County. We just don't know, do we? But it could be that we're going to be here in the same place at the beginning of 2023. And by God's grace, reflecting upon our 2022. And asking some of the same questions and considering some of the same thoughts that we've asked and considered this morning. I want to leave you with this thought. Start now as you mean to go on. Give it everything you have now and stick with it all the way through. And by God's grace and with God's help, you can make your 2022 a banner year. A year in which you just abound in spiritual growth. And just as it was said of Saul, it could be said of us. They grew in strength in 2022. And I pray that's exactly what we're going to do. We ended the year with a couple of souls putting on Christ. Hannah and Levi. And what a wonderful thing that was. What a blessing it is. Well, God is always ready at any moment to receive souls into His fold. And if there are those here this morning who are not Christians, and yet you find that you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, then you have taken the necessary, essential first step, and you can become a Christian. So don't stop there. Repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus as Lord, and be immersed in water to have your sins washed clean from your soul, putting Him on there in the waters of baptism and rising up out in the likeness of His resurrection, stepping out onto the road that leads to heaven. What a road to be on. If you're subject to the call of the gospel, please come forward now as together we stand and sing.